you take your Bibles, please, and turn. We've already looked at Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, but I'd like you now to turn to John's Gospel and to the 10th chapter and to verse 22. You'll find it on page 757 on the Church Bible. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 22. The early part of the chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ had been instructing his disciples, had been instructing the people, and had speaking to them using himself as an illustration as the good shepherd. A very familiar passage, I believe, to most of us, a passage probably that we've read many times, that we've studied, that we've considered, that we've heard preached upon. And the Lord Jesus Christ was here just depicting himself as the good shepherd who knows his sheep and whose sheep know him. He comes to the end of that particular discourse, and if you've got an NIV in front of you, which you probably have, you'll see that that particular part comes to an end, and then there's a sort of a subheading, the unbelief of the Jews. And we don't know what the time gap is between that verse 21 and 22, but probably only a short while afterwards we read that then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Familiar voice, verses. I want us just to concentrate tonight, just for a brief while, on that 28th verse, where the Lord Jesus Christ says of his sheep, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." These Jews had gathered round our Lord Jesus Christ. They'd heard him preaching for a while. He was speaking about himself over and over again in various different ways as being the promised Messiah, the Christ, as we read here. And they were expecting him, if he was the Christ, at some point to display that fact. And as we know, they were looking indeed at that particular time for a leader, a military leader, a political leader, somebody who would come into the nation, as it were, or be within the nation, who would rise up and once again establish Israel as a nation. Of course, they were under the heel of Roman oppression. They were a conquered nation. They were under the control of somebody else. But the Jews were looking for freedom. They were looking for somebody to come and to relieve them from Rome. And once again, to make Israel a nation. A nation indeed that would be one of the main nations of the world. But this man Jesus of Nazareth, didn't appear to be like that. He was a humble man, and he was preaching. Yes, he was going about doing good, but they couldn't see in him a national, military, or political leader. And of course, on and off over the time, the Jewish leaders kept challenging him and confronting him in various ways. And we read in this particular passage that the Jews gathered around him as there he was with probably his disciples walking around the inner perimeter of the temple, which is called Solomon's Colonnade. And he was walking there with his disciples, and they came up to him and they challenged him. They said, "How long? How long will you keep us in suspense? Come on now. Do something. Show us who you are. If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. We want to know. We want to see. We want to know who you are. And if you're the leader, if you're the Messiah, well, tell us plainly. Do something about it." Our Lord Jesus Christ always has an answer, does he not, when he's challenged? And it's always an answer that challenges his questioners. And Jesus answered them. He says, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. Just look at the miracles that I do. The miracles that I do in my Father's name. Do they not speak of me? The very fact that I can go about healing people. People who are sick, people who are lame, people who are blind. Even raising those who are dead. But you don't believe." And he says, the reason why you don't believe is the fact that you are not my sheep. You're not my sheep. He said, if you were my sheep, you would listen to my voice. He says, I know them, and they follow me. Then he makes this wonderful statement. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. In fact, he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. As I considered that verse some while ago, and I was preparing a sermon to preach at a church in Swindon, and I'd quite basically got a certain part of that sermon completed, and I was shortly about to complete it, when I had a phone call from the pastor of that particular church to say that that church had suffered a particular tragedy. One of their members, one of their very regular members, one of their very faithful members, had suddenly died. Died in very tragic circumstances. In fact, he had committed suicide. And the church was shaken. Shaken, as we say, to the core. Now, the pastor was due that following weekend to be preaching elsewhere, to be preaching actually up in Scotland. And he was going to be away on the Saturday and the Sunday, and he'd asked me to preach for him on the Sunday. And I said to him, you know, you should be with your flock, with your people that Sunday, because they need you, they don't need me. They want you there, because you're the under-shepherd who should be there with them. And after discussion on the phone, he decided that if it was possible, he would return from Scotland that Saturday night and be with his people on the Sunday morning. He was able to. I was able to be there with him and to support him. And he preached a very faithful sermon to his people that I'm sure drew them together before the Lord. And he asked me if I would preach in the evening, and the Lord sustained me and helped me as I spoke to them. But the church had been shaken. The church had been hurt. And I thought, well, in the week before, well, the few days I had before, what do I do? What do I preach to this church? What do I say to them? Well, often at times of difficulty, times when I feel low, I turn to the 23rd Psalm. And in the 23rd Psalm, there is one short little statement. He restores my soul. And I preached on that sermon that night. He restores my soul. And we looked at the fact that however much we are hurt, however much problems and difficulties come, the Lord can indeed restore us. If we strayed away, He can bring us back to Himself. If we're going through times of difficulty and all seems to be black and difficult around us, He can restore us and bring us back to Himself. I thought about that verse since I preached it. And I was looking at this passage only the other day, and I jotted one or two things down when I was looking at it. And I thought of this verse. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I had a piece of paper in my Bible that had three headings on it. Now, I'm not sure where I got those headings from, but they were just headings. And so, I'm going to give you those headings tonight, and we're just going to look at each one of them very briefly for a few moments. And the first heading is this. The Lord Jesus Christ says to those that are His, I will never let you go. I will never let you go. The Lord Jesus Christ does not break His word. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfills all His promises. Now, of course, we're not like that, are we? So often we'll promise, but we fail to fulfill. So often we say, I will, and we forget to do it, or we change our mind, and we don't do it. But when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I will, then we can be sure that He will. For our Lord Jesus Christ, as we read scriptures, as we read through the Gospels, as the Gospels are supported by the epistles, we see in fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, keeps His promises. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to those who come to know Him as Saviour and Lord, those indeed who've realised the fact that they are sinners before God, that they need salvation, and that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to seek those like them who were lost through sin, who suffered and died on Calvary's tree bearing the punishment for sin. And that when they come to Him, when they come to God repenting of that sin and turning in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, then He gives them a new life. They become a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're Christ, when we belong to Him, well, that doesn't mean that life then becomes easy. It's still many difficulties and there's still many problems. But when we're saved, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, He, through His Holy Spirit, begins a good work in us. And He will continue to mould us and to fashion us until we are complete, until we are mature. We become mature Christians, but we won't become mature till that great day when the Lord calls us home to Himself or He returns to this earth. But the Lord takes us and He works upon us. He doesn't let us down. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, be confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So the work that Christ has begun in you, the work of salvation, the work of sanctification, bringing you through to Christian maturity, He will fulfill it. He will complete it. He will not let you down, for He won't break His word. He's promised to see you through. He will never let you go. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was talking to his disciples and to the crowd one day, he said this. He says, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given to me, and raise them up at the last day." God has given to the Lord Jesus Christ those that are his. God chose those to be his children before the foundation of the world. And he's given them to Christ. Christ came into the world to redeem them, to save them, and to bring them to God. And God has said, "I've given them to you." And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I shall lose none of them, but I will raise them up at the last day." Isn't that a wonderful promise? The Lord Jesus Christ has been given you by the Father, if you're his. And he has promised that he'll never lose you, that he will keep you, that he will build you up in Christian maturity. He won't lose you. A farmer doesn't like to lose a sheep. We read in that passage in Luke's Gospel, did we not, that the farmer who had 100 sheep lost one of them. And he went out seeking the one that was lost. And he rejoiced when he found it. And he brought it home on his shoulders. And along with his family and friends, he rejoiced on finding his lost sheep. We can so easily stray from the flock of Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ promises that he will not lose us. If we stray, if we go our own way, he will come seeking us and he will find us. Because he's made that promise that he will not lose any that the Father has given him. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Roman church, he wanted to make sure that the Christians there in Rome understood that nothing, literally nothing, could come between them and their God. And Paul said to them, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." God loves us. And God has given us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is nothing, nothing upon this earth, nothing in this universe, nothing that can come between us and our God. Oh, the devil might try, the world might try, but God is there. And nothing can come between us. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. The Lord Jesus says, "I will never let you go. I will never fail you." Secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ makes us another promise. And that is that "I'll never let you down," he says. "I'll never let you down." Now, we can let each other down quite easily, can't we? Again, we can promise to help somebody and we fail to do it. We fail to keep appointments. We fail to pray for somebody when we promise to pray. Yes, we fail so often. We do let one another down. But the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't let us down. As Christians, we do not keep ourselves. We are shielded by God's power. Peter, in his first epistle, says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in his great mercy he has given us an inheritance kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power." Isn't that a wonderful promise? that you and I, as Christians, as children of God, are shielded by God's power. There is nothing that can touch us. Oh, people can throw words at us. People can throw things at us. People can say we're wrong. People can laugh at us. But what they say will bounce off. For we are shielded by the power of God. God surrounds those that are His with His strength and with His power. Of the Christian, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 4, "And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." You see, we don't stand in our own strength. Oh, the Lord tells us to stand up for Him. But the Lord is there to help us to stand, to give us the strength that we need, that we might indeed stand for Him. Yes, indeed, the Lord won't let us down. He indeed will shield us with His power. We also have another wonderful promise. This promise that we have in these verses, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." God will not forsake us. Once we are His, once we are His sheep, once we are within His flock, He indeed will keep us, and no one can snatch us from that flock. The psalmist in Psalm 37 and verse 28 says this, "For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones." If we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we love our Lord and Saviour, and are faithful to Him, He will be faithful to us. He will not let us down. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church in his first letter in chapter 1 and verse 8, says this, "He will keep us strong to the end." He says, "He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, so often we feel weak and feeble. So often we feel that the Christian life is hard and difficult, and we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to stray. But again, we have the promise of Scripture that He will keep us strong, that He will see us through to the end. He will not forsake us. He will not let us down. He'll keep us strong to the end. And then finally, there's a challenge that comes to each one of us. We've had the promises of God, the fact indeed that He will never let us go, He'll never let us down. But finally, He will never let us off the hook. Our God commands us to stand for Him. Oh, He says, "The world will hate you. They'll hate you because of me. They've hated me, and therefore, as followers of me, you will be hated as well." But He makes this promise in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. "But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." We need to stand firm to the end. Now the Lord will keep us, He will shield us, He will bring us through, He won't forsake us. But He expects us to take our part, to take the responsibility of being willing and being ready to stand for Him. He doesn't want weak-kneed Christians. He doesn't want flabby Christians. He wants men and women who are ready and who are willing to stand for Him. Yes, the world will hate us. But if we stand, he makes us that promise. We will be saved. God commands us to be obedient. The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples in John chapter 8 and verse 31, says this: "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." You call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do, you're a disciple. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you are really a disciple, if you're really following me, if you really are a Christian, then you will hold to my teachings. And here in God's word, we have the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our guide. We have our handbook, as it were. We have the teachings of our God. And he says to us that we are really his disciples if we hold to that teaching. So it means that we read God's word and we read it prayerfully. We take it up and we apply it to our lives. We don't just read it in a routine way and then just put it down saying, yes, I've done my reading for the day. We don't just read it as we would read any other book. We take it up and we read it and we meditate upon it. We think it through and we take what it says and we apply it to our lives. Do you do that? Do you apply God's word to your life? When you've read a passage, does it make any difference to your life? Does it change you? Does it challenge you? Does it cause you to be concerned about something that you're doing in your life and God's put his finger on it and he's told you through his word that it is wrong? Do you do something about it? Do you stop doing that? Do you ask his help to change and to remove that from your life? Or if he's telling you that you should be doing something and you're not doing it, you just put it on one side and forget it? Or do you take what God says, apply it, and as he says through his word, be doers of his word? Hold to his teachings, he says. If you really want to be my disciple, if you really want to follow me, then hold to my teachings. Finally, God calls us to be faithful. And he makes this wonderful promise to us. As Paul puts it to the Romans in chapter 10 and verse 9, he says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Is the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Is he your Saviour? Do you really know him as Lord and Saviour? Have you come to him in repentance, in true repentance for your sins, and turned your back on those sins, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the one who went to Calvary and suffered and died in your place, bearing the punishment for your sin, the Lord who died and who rose again, conquering sin and conquering death? Have you put your faith in him, having repented of your sin? Or are you still living in your sin? Are you still living in the ways of the world, doing what the world does? Or have you turned to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith? The Lord Jesus Christ says, if you have, and if you confess with your mouth that you've done that, then indeed, you will be saved. The Apostle John, in his Gospel, gives us the reason why he wrote his Gospel. And he has a very good reason. And a reason indeed I believe that we should take to heart. For he says this: "But these are written," that's his Gospel, "that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John chapter 20 and verse 31. Do you believe? Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is the Son of God who came to save you? And have you repented and believed? If you have, then you have life in his name. You become his child, his sheep in his flock. He indeed is the good shepherd that he'd been speaking about in the earlier part of the chapter. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He'll never let you go. He'll never let you down. And he calls upon us, if we are his, to be obedient, to be faithful, and to stand for him. Have a look at your life this evening. Think about it. Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really know him as Saviour and as Lord? Are you really walking with him? Or are you really just play-acting, looking like a Christian, doing the things that a Christian does, coming to church, being good, trying your best? Or do you really know the Lord Jesus? Have you really repented? Have you really come to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you still trusting in yourself? If you're trusting in yourself, you haven't got life. You do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. All you know about him, but you do not know him. But when we repent, when we come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in him, then he gives us that brand new life. That life that he will take and he will mould and he will keep and build us up so that one day, as Jude says at the end of his short epistle, he will present us faultless before God's throne in the glory, blameless. We'll be covered with the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins will have been gone, and there will be rejoicing in heaven as we enter into God's glory. Dear friends, will you be there? Or is there no place for you? May it be that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight. May it be that the Lord is saying to you, do you really love me? Have you really accepted what I've done for you on Calvary's cross? Will you not put your trust in me? I'm calling you. Come to me and find in me life eternal. Amen.